All week long, I've actually been meditating on this message. But it was only a couple afternoons where God gave me what I have on these papers. Because no matter what we think, all of us will be tempted. And I think about what Jesus went through. He was tempted by Satan for 40 days. And he still made it through without any problems. Not without any problems, but without failing. Unfortunately, we don't do that. No matter who you are, you will face temptations on a daily basis. Some will be obvious, others are going to be more subtle. Satan knows our weaknesses, and he won't attack you head on. He comes up from behind, and he tries to trip us up. He's constantly doing it. Like I said, I don't know what anybody else's shortcomings are, but I've got a bucket full of them. And I think the greatest one that we face is our own personal desires. They'll bring us down faster than any other thing in life. It's mentioned in verse 14, the word lust. And it's probably the best word that we can use in order to go and associate, because that's what it is when what they want, but is the best and most descriptive way to look at it. When we lust for anything, it overwhelms our decision-making abilities, and then we act on impulse rather than rationally. This is one thing that I've noticed before myself, and I didn't realize that I did it as well as any four-year-old in the middle of Walmart. But have you ever seen a kid throw a temper tantrum when they don't get what they want? We adults do the same thing, but we just don't throw a fit in the middle of the store. We'll get what we want no matter what, and we'll just rationalize that, hey, I work hard, I pay for it, I can have what I want. But do we really need it? We always justify what we do, but we spank the child. What happens when God corrects us? He doesn't whip us, but he shows us our failings by giving us ability to feel guilt. Don't feel like you're the only one who has ever failed. There was a man named David. He was a man after God's own heart. He was tempted and did something that most of us wouldn't even consider. He committed adultery, and to cover up the sin, he committed an even greater one by ordering a murder. He didn't even put his hands to it. He didn't get his hands dirty, but he ordered it. And God still loved him. He blotted out the sin. But David suffered mightily because of it. It only goes to prove we all will be tempted. No matter who you are, no matter what you do in life, Satan is right there to bring us down. We must be diligent to recognize the temptation. Sometimes we won't see it until it's too late. Those are the times we fail. Those times we have someone to go to, Jesus. He was tempted just like us, but never failed. He will help us to prevail and pick us up when we fall. In verse 12, the first word, blessed are those that endure temptations. Some of them we will. We'll withstand. We'll hold true to God. And there's others, like I said, when we feel that we deserve it, we're going to do exactly what we want to do and then reap the guilt that comes with it. God doesn't cause the temptation, but He will help us to make it through. In Matthew 4:3, it says, "And when the tempter came to Jesus," I read that and I'm going, it doesn't say. But if you read down just a couple of verses in 4:5, it points out that the tempter is the devil. And he actually, one-on-one, tried to get Jesus to fail, because he knew that he was too strong for any of the demons he threw at him, or any mankind. There was several instances in the Word of God, in Mark 1:3 and Luke 4:2-13, it cites the 40 days of temptation. But Jesus was tempted by mankind themselves. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him and tempting him about whether he should give tribute or not. But he picked up on that real easy, because mankind, Jesus has got, he's paid the price. So whatever we can throw at him, he's already seen it. In verse 13, James lets us know that temptations don't come from God. God cannot be tempted with evil. And he won't tempt any of us. Verse 14 tells us that we will be tempted when we allow lust to entice us. Unfortunately, in our own foolish pride, we will think that we can withstand. Satan enjoys it when we start thinking we can do just a little bit of something and it will be okay. Well, I know from personal experience, it doesn't work. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't taken a drink in over 30 years. But I know that one drink, one time, and I'll be right back there where I was. But Christ gives me the strength to withstand that. So Satan, at this point in life, he doesn't tempt me with that. When things are going okay, but when things go bad, he'll put everything you've ever done in your face, and then he'll go in and point out, well, you had a good time, or it was all right then, just to try to get us to fall. Don't buy into it. We cannot give in to lust, because verse 15 says it best, when lust has conceived, it bears sin, and sin will bring forth death. Those of us, okay, here goes the tongue, it doesn't work now. Those of us who know Christ will make it home because we've been saved. But how badly will our witness be damaged? How many people could we cause to fall? Christ died for all people, and he will help us to be witnesses for him. But we must remove pride from the picture. I've told this to my own son, and I've thought about everyone that you can read about in the Bible, everyone you've known personally in life. But the toughest man that ever lived is Jesus Christ himself. He faced a punishment that was mine. And he took it. He didn't He didn't back down from it. He didn't want it, because I honestly believe that he didn't want to be separated from his Father. Because as he hung there on that cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he went to the cross, died, and raised again. And he never failed. I'm very thankful that I know him, and I hope that I have done his word justice. Thank you.